We want to read from Romans chapter 1 today. Paul wrote, of course, to the church at Rome, not the church off Rome, but the church that was at Rome, and we're going to read from his letter today, the first chapter of Romans. There was a great rally held yesterday evening in Portadown. It's actually right beside the Independent Methodist Church there, Shamrock Park, football ground right beside it. And we were at it for a short time last night, and it was great to see so many people, orange men and civilians, and many people gathered there for a great open-air rally. And this passage was read, Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me stop there. Had I been reading from the NIV today, it would simply have said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The words of Christ are left out. Christ is left out of the gospel. But I'm glad we're reading the King James Version today and we don't leave Christ out of the gospel, because if you leave Christ out of the gospel, you don't have a gospel. So that's just a little eye-opener for you, because sometimes people say, well, you know, why do you get carried away about the Bible version that you use? Well, there's one good reason. And I could point you today to many other places in the scriptures where verses and parts of verses have been left out. But thank God we have the authorized version today that does not leave the Savior out. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. The Lord will bless these verses to our hearts this morning for his own glory. I'm sure we all heard the news last week. Very, very remarkable incident that happened to the young man who had been out surfing. Young man Matthew Bryce from Scotland, who spent 32 hours in the water drifting to the point where he thought that he would die. He set off on a surfboard about this time last Sunday morning, just perhaps whenever we were gathering for church. And it wasn't until Monday evening at about 7:30 that he was rescued by the helicopter. But drifting for all those hours, all he could see was water, waves. And he despaired even of his life. He thought that it was the end. But thank God he was rescued. And the helicopter did come. You can actually get a video on the internet from the hospital bed where he spoke of how whenever the helicopter flew over, that he jumped up. He was jumping out of the water with the surfboard, waving the board, because he thought that the helicopter had missed him. And it was great that his life was saved, that he was rescued. And he was on Nolan. Not that I listen to Stephen Nolan every day by any means, but driving down to Coleraine on Friday morning for the outreach. Nolan, of course, is in the radio in the morning, and he had an interview with the young man who had been saved and rescued from the sea. You know, Martin Luther was like that spiritually. Before Luther was saved, it was just as if he was out on a wild and stormy sea with no hope of salvation, no hope of rescue. But thank God the time came whenever the Lord Jesus Christ in his abundant mercy reached and saved Martin Luther. The text that we thought about last Sunday morning and that we're thinking again about today is "The just shall live by faith. Do you know that text of scripture struck Martin Luther on four occasions in his life? Do you know that that text of scripture is found four times in the Bible? Isn't that interesting? When you read the Word of God, four times you come across this great verse, the just shall live by faith. Once in the Old Testament, three times in the New Testament, four times. Four times the Holy Spirit brought that verse to the mind of Martin Luther. First time we mentioned it last Sunday was when he was in the monastery. You see, they had a Bible in the monastery that Luther went to in the year 1505. And you remember we said that the Bible was chained to the pillar. The only place you'd get a Bible was in the monastery, and you weren't allowed to take it out to the common people. My Luther began to read the book of Romans in the monastery. The just shall live by faith. The light began to dawn. The second occasion whenever he was struck by this text was in the university, because he left the monastery after a few years and he went to the university and lectured in theology there. And one of the books that he had to lecture on was the book of Romans. So in his studies, he was reading obviously through the book of Romans. And there in the university, as he prepared to lecture to his students, he was reading again Romans chapter 1. And you've got the picture on your church calendar, and there's the calendar, of course, on the notice board out there if anyone didn't get a church calendar, and we hope that everyone did, by the way. But if you didn't manage to get a calendar, take a look at the notice board on your way out. You'll see the picture there of Luther sitting at his study, and the morning sunshine is streaming in through the window. And now the Bible isn't chained to the pillar, but now it's just the Bible in the study, and it's a broken chain. Somehow Luther has managed to get the Bible from the monastery to his study. And the chain's broken. Glory to God, the chains were being broken in his life. The chains of the devil, the truth of the gospel, of salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, through the scriptures alone, it was dawning on Luther. And there, as the light of the morning sunshine streamed in upon the reformer, light was streaming and flooding into his soul. Third occasion when the Holy Spirit brought this verse very forcibly to him, the just shall live by faith. He was in the Italian city of Bologna. He became very ill. In fact, Luther, he was at death's door. He had been making the journey to Rome. Remember, we talked last week about Rome and how Luther went to the Pilate staircase to pray to the Blessed Virgin, to earn indulgences from purgatory as he climbed up each step. Well, on the journey to Rome, he came to the city of Bologna and he became very ill, and he was taken into the local monastery. And he was really very nearly passing away. His life nearly ended. But in his very darkest moment there in that Bologna monastery, the Holy Spirit brought the scripture back to him. And at his very lowest, there was the whisper of love again. The just shall live by faith. Is it any wonder that we teach the children the Bible verses? Oh, I know the modernists today, they laugh at us. Still teaching Bible verses in Sunday school? I mean, have you not moved on? Like, we're in 2017 now. It's not a bit more exciting for children nowadays? Away with them. Just teach the children the scriptures. That's what it's all about. Becoming Children's Day.
You'll hear the children and the young people reciting scripture and reading scripture. Some people say, boring. you just stand up and you recite verses, you just read the Bible. I mean, how boring is that? Well, tell you what, it wasn't boring for Martin Luther. Luther was thrilled. He was overjoyed. It was like the sunrise after the dawn. The just shall live by faith. It was music to his ears. And the Lord raised him up from that sickbed, spared him. Then, of course, he arrived in Rome. You remember what was said last week, touched on it already. The fourth occasion, this is now occasion number four, when the Holy Spirit brought these words to his mind halfway up the staircase in Rome. Luther realized, I mean, in his own account, he actually felt embarrassed whenever the Holy Spirit, you know, opened his eyes. He felt ashamed, embarrassed about what he was doing. I mean, is this where Rome has brought me to, on my knees, climbing up a stairs to earn salvation? Would to God that people today who are involved in superstition and in charismatic nonsense would be embarrassed about what they're doing? That the penny would drop. And they talk about carpet time in the charismatic churches today. I roll about the carpet on a Sunday. That's great worship. The Lord really loves that. It might make them feel good, but it's a mockery. No, Luther's eyes were opened. Dear friends, all it takes is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And maybe the church in 2017 needs to get back to that. I don't know, you tell me. Do we need to get back to that? Because, I mean, all I hear, I've been around different places and just generally going about the country and hearing people talk and Christians talk today, all people seem to want is what I would call microwave food in churches today. Oh, 20 minutes of a sermon and, you know, they really turn their hair out. 5 minutes, boy, that's great. Your man, he just preaches for 5 minutes, then he sits down. Isn't it wonderful? Fast food preaching. That's all people want today. Just give us wee snippets. And they leave the knives and forks at home. Don't want the Word of God. Want their ears to be tickled. But now if you got the TV remote control, they could soon pass an hour or two. I mean, if they had the remote control in their hands, like, I mean, it wouldn't be too hard to watch an hour of Game of Thrones or whatever. Or it's not too hard to go to the football match, or the cricket match, or the rugby match, or whatever it is. Or it ain't too hard to spend an hour or two in the restaurant. But oh, if a man preaches for anywhere near that length of time, I mean, World War III is going to break out. Well, all I can say is that the church in the West today has got an awful long distance away from Martin Luther and the Reformers. Because, I mean, friends, it was Scripture alone back then. That was the motto, Scripture alone. You have the Spirit of God and you've got the Word of God and you've got a potent combination that will destroy the devil and hell and do the Lord's work and build the Church of Christ. As Methodists, or if you prefer, independent Methodists, we should be very thankful for Martin Luther. Because Martin Luther wrote a commentary on the book of Romans. And John Wesley was converted as he listened to that commentary being read. I know, again, people say, oh, boring. How could a man be saved through, I mean, somebody standing up reading? Oh, your man there, he reads the sermons. Well, I mean, Jonathan Edwards read his sermon in the 1700s and revival broke out. I mean, he read it with he had a wee candle and no electricity, obviously, back then. He had a wee candle and he stood in the pulpit and he read it. And the people were clinging onto the pews because they were afraid of literally falling down through the church floor into hell. Friends, it doesn't matter about the instrument in the pulpit. That's not really relevant. It's whether the Holy Spirit is there and whether you've got the Word of God. And that's all we need. And so there was John Wesley. I mean, he was very similar to Luther in many ways. He had been going about for years trying to establish his own righteousness. But then in the city of London, he went one evening, I mean, he went to the Anglican church and he heard Psalm 130 being sung. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And then he went to, like, I suppose you just call it a house meeting. And the man was reading Luther's commentary, and it wasn't even the actual commentary. It was the bit before the commentary begins, the preface, it's called. The introduction to Luther's commentary in the book of Romans. And just the Holy Spirit took it and drew John Wesley to Christ. And we all know what Wesley said in his own words, I did feel my heart strangely warmed. You remember Luke 24? Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and opened to us? Ah, you've said it. The scriptures. Scriptures. That's all we need. That's all Luther needed in his darkness. And there it was four times. The just shall live by faith. We said last week that this text, obviously, it occurs three times in the New Testament. And we said that in the book of Hebrews, the emphasis is on the word live. In the book of Galatians, the emphasis is on the word just. But in the book of Romans, the emphasis is on the word faith. The just shall live by faith. That's how you're saved. By faith. Paul doesn't say the just shall live by works. No, he doesn't say by works. Paul used to think it was by works. Paul, the Pharisee, who thought so much of himself, who was full of pride in his religion, he used to think that salvation was by works. And if I tick all the boxes, someday the Lord is going to allow me into heaven. But then on the Damascus Road, that all changed. He realized that it's through Christ, through the risen Christ. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul was saved like Luther. I suppose you could say Martin Luther had his Damascus Road experience on the staircase in Rome. But you know, before Luther was saved, we have mentioned already that he went to the monastery. Do you know when he went to the monastery, his parents were brokenhearted? His parents wanted him to become a lawyer. But now all of a sudden he has been sucked into this cult. You know, dear friends, people can get sucked into cults very easily. But we shouldn't be discouraged because Luther was sucked into a cult. It's called the Roman Catholic cult. And for 2 or 3 years he was in that cult. But then the Lord brought him out. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. We have so many things in our lives as believers that would discourage us, and they rear themselves up like mountains in front of us, but they're so small to God. And the Lord can move mountains, and the Lord moved a mountain when he brought Martin Luther out of the cult in the monastery, and the Lord can still do it today. My, there's people caught up in cults today. Now, if you were to go to their group or their church, whatever you call it, and you say, I mean, you know, no, you're a cult and you're in a cult. I mean, they would argue with you. They can't even see that they're in a cult, but there are many people and that's all it is. It's a cult. But the Lord can rescue them. The Lord can deliver them. Because there's so many foolish things go on in cults. And if you want to talk about Luther's cult, you see, Luther, he used to beat himself up. You know, when Luther was in the monastery, he used to whip himself. In fact, he whipped himself and he beat himself so badly one day that he passed out. And he fasted, went without food for days on end. And his body wasted away to a skeleton. His fellow monks would often come and find him lying on the floor of the monastery on the cold floor. In the morning he slept on the cold floor all night. Didn't have a blanket because he thought that if I endure this penance and this pain, that somehow I will earn forgiveness. So many false works and, you know, dead works, as the Bible calls them, that people are involved in today. I mean, the story of Luther's right up to date. We could talk today about the Hindu religion, Hinduism, and there's poor people who stick a hook in their backs and swing on a rope from a tree. And they think that by doing this, that somehow they're going to expiate, if you'll forgive that term, it just means to appease God, and God will be pleased with them and forgive their sins because of the pain that they're putting themselves through. But it's all to no avail, because the just shall not live by works, but by faith. Neither did Paul say it's by money. Paul did not say the just shall live by money. See, in Luther's day, there's a man going around, and this is what really riled Luther and just filled him with righteous anger. There's a man called Johann Tetzel. We would say John Tetzel. But Tetzel was going around and he was saying, now, if you pay money to me, I will pass the money on to the church and your loved ones in purgatory will spend less time there. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. Pay money. Money, money, money. That's what it's all about, as far as the church was concerned. Do you know you could even buy an indulgence for sins that you hadn't committed, but you wanted to commit them? I mean, if you saw your neighbour down the street and you wanted to commit adultery with his wife or husband or her husband, I mean, you could buy an indulgence from Tetzel and you go ahead and do it. Oh, I've got the ticket here. That sin's forgiven. I mean, is it any wonder that Luther got mad? But we could talk today about the prosperity gospel when it comes to money. You know, the health and the wealth gospel. Have you ever heard of the Vineyard Church? You know, the founder of the Vineyard Church, John Wimber. Do you know what he said once? The greatest tragedy in church history was the Reformation. Do you get that? The founder of Vineyard. The greatest tragedy in church history was the Protestant Reformation. You'll be able to say that to the Vineyard boys when they come to you the next time with their health and wealth gospel. Oh, the prosperity gospel today, fleecing the people. We could talk about mass cards today, how people are encouraged to buy mass cards, to pay money for the mass cards. And it's all a money racket.
But you see, if only they would read the Bible, the just shall live by faith, not money. Friends, we need to finish off today. Possibly there's someone here this morning who's asking, you're talking about faith. What is it? What is faith? Well, it's a very simple answer to that question. You use faith every day. As I try to answer your question, I want to explain it in a way that you'll understand. Each one of us exercise faith on a daily basis. You see, every building that you walk into, you show faith in that building. I mean, every one of us who walked into this church today, we have shown faith already in this building. You walked in here today, you didn't think the roof was going to fall in, did you? You trusted the man who built this church all those years ago, or the men, the people who were involved in the construction of this church, and you walked into this church today, you had faith that the church was going to remain standing, it wasn't going to collapse on top of you during the service. Faith. I mean, you're going to go home today, aren't you? Well, you get home sometime, you're saying, but, well, we're nearly finished. When you walk in through the door of your house, I mean, you trust the architect and the builder who built your house and designed the plans for your house, don't you? You're not going to sit eating your dinner in an hour or two, whenever you have it, or lunch or whatever, thinking, I wonder, will that roof fall on top of me? Your faith is in the building. Your faith is in the people who built it and who built your house. We exercise faith every day. When you put a letter into the post box, I mean, do you stand back and, I wonder, will that letter get there? I wonder, will the postman take it to the house or to the government office that it needs to go to? No, you've got faith that when you drop the letter in through the box, it's going to get there. We've faith in the bank. We've put our money in the bank. Faith in the post office. I mean, the list goes on. Faith, it's so simple. We exercise it every day. But you see, friends, the all-important question is, who is our faith in? That's what it comes down to. Faith in your faith is useless. There's a whole lot of people today say, I have faith. Or they will think of somebody else and they'll say, he or she is a person of faith. Well, I'm sorry to tell you today, that faith is utterly useless. It's vain. Faith needs to be in Christ. And that is how Martin Luther found peace with God. And you can find peace with God today through faith in Christ. On Friday night at the Children's Club, we were teaching them that simple verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Could we turn to 552, hymn number 552. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Will you say that today as we sing it? Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. First and last verses, 552.